May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing hymn 926. 926. When overwhelmed with doubts and fear, great God, do thou my spirit cheer. Let not my eyes with tears be fed, but to the rock of ages led. Hymn 926.
Most holy word of God, three portions, Psalm 90, then the 53rd chapter of Isaiah's prophecy, and then latterly the second chapter of the Hebrews. But firstly, Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like the grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet their strength is labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. And then the 53rd chapter in Isaiah's prophecy. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, when I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Then lastly, the epistle of Paul's epistle to the Hebrews in the second chapter. The second chapter of the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honour, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Again I will put my trust in him, and again behold I and the children which God hath given me. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us those portions of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most kind and gracious God, once again thou hast lengthened out our time here upon the earth to gather in thy courts this evening hour for prayer and praise and worship of thee. Oh, thou hast not cut us off as our sins deserve. In wrath thou hast remembered mercy. And oh, may we be found amongst those whom thou hast wrought in their hearts mightily by the Holy Spirit, by the power of God, to change the heart and renew the will and turn the feet to Zion's hill, and having our ears bored to the doorpost, we come up to the house of God to hear what the Lord might speak. If there are those still indifferent, unconcerned, content with their coming and going and outward form, oh, do yet put forth thy mighty hand and change their hearts and renew their wills and turn their feet to Zion's hill. Yes, they may be found in thy courts in the bodily presence, but their heart is far from thee, and such were some of us. Oh, with shame we would confess it, but such were some of us, even as we stand before thee, we confess it. Those years in which we sat in thy courts and no doubt heard many a sermon preached, but it had no effect upon us. Ah, yes, our body was in the house of God, but our heart was far from thee. But oh, what a mercy when thou dost take a poor sinner in hand and arrest them in their mad career. Yes, even in that way, they're servants of Satan, Satan's blind slaves sporting with death. But oh, when thou dost take a poor sinner in hand, oh, the wonder of it, the wonder of thy salvation. Ah, when, yes, there is that wrought in the heart of a poor sinner, and it's effectual. It's effectual. Ah, I will work, and who shall let it? None can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? Oh, blessed be God. Ah, that which thou hast begun, thou wilt perfect it. So we plead, do take each in hand, and lead each forth by that right way, way which is that narrow way which leadeth unto life. Yea, unto that city of habitation whose builder and maker is God. Oh, we solemnly consider those words from time to time where we read this. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, to reveal that unto one or another, yes, they may feel they're in that right way. Even the Apostle Paul, as that Pharisee, the Pharisees, he thought he did God's service. But that is take him in hand. The axe was laid to the root of that which he rested upon, which is no more than that of the flesh. And the flesh gloried in it. The axe was laid to the root. And didst thou not declare of him then, behold, he prayeth, Ah, yes, and thou didst also declare this, for he's a chosen vessel unto me, a chosen vessel unto me. And all we might be each found amongst those chosen vessels, love with an everlasting love. Ah, yes, chosen in eternity past and called in time. Lord, remember each one then has gathered this night and those that were here this morning and perhaps now detained by various duties looking after children, thou knowest. And perhaps age and infirmity detain one or another. But Lord, we plead for each one. And once again, we plead for our friend David. Thou knowest his deep affliction. Lord, do remember him. Oh, be a comforter to him. Oh, do speak the word only. Oh, what a mercy, what a difference when thou dost speak the word. Who then can make trouble? And so we plead, do grant him those comforts which only thou canst give. And may he know, even as the hymn writer declared in that hymn 925, that peace by his cross as Jesus made, the church's everlasting head, o'er hell and sin as victory won, and with a shout to glory gone. Oh, we plead then, do reveal thyself to him. And do remember the family as they look on. Grant them that strength sufficient for the day and for each day. Lord, we know what these times are in our families, do we not? We have those things which from time to time they come and we tremble. And it seems to turn things upside down. Ah, yes, it turns things upside down. But oh, may they prove those everlasting arms of the God of Jeshurun. Ah, yes, that one that has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so we will commend them and commit them unto thee. And we plead also for others that are found mourning. Ah, yes, our mind goes to one and another. Comfort those that mourn. And Lord, do we unto one or another in their trying scenes. And Lord, we think of one another also that know what deep afflictions are. And even like Jacob, we know what it is to come with language of Jacob and declare this, all these things are against me. All these things are against me. But O Lord, do sanctify the path and sweeten all the pain. Ah, may it please thee that through these things thou mightest get to thyself honour and glory and praise. Some of we look back to times of affliction and we have to say we've been enabled to praise thee. Ah, before I was afflicted I went astray. Oh, we not always been there. We found that times in affliction we've kicked and struggled like the bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. But oh, when it is sanctified. Oh, when it is sanctified. When we can see, yes, just a little of a suffering Saviour. When we see in the midst of it all one that has drank the cup quite up. And we do but taste the cup. Ah, we do but taste the cup. But oh, remember such we plead. And do remember them here then as a church and people. Lord, thou knowest each one's need from the youngest here to the oldest. And we think of the very little ones. Those that are growing up and those in the midst are going on into life. Lord, we commend them and commit them unto thee. Oh, hedge them about. Keep them tender of heart and mind and conscience. Work in their hearts thy fear, the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, that in time they might know also that filial fear, that fear which is true love. Oh, that love toward thee. Oh, we plead then. Grant parents help as they seek to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oh, give them wisdom and knowledge and understanding to counter the evils of the day, those things which are promoted and, yes, thrust upon us. Oh, grant them help there. Remember those in the midst of life that bear the heat and burn of the day, whether it is a busy housewife and mother in the home, those in their scenes of work and business and all those affairs that have to be entered into. And perhaps there is something on the morrow, and these cares have burdened them. Ah, may they be able to cast their burden upon the Lord. May they prove that thou art able to sustain them. Ah, thou art able to sustain them. And may they prove, yet the shepherd goes before the sheep. And yes, he can make those mountains flow down at his presence. Those dark places light and those rough places plain. Can do wonders for his people, whereof they shall be made glad. Oh, some must be proved, and have we not in our little lives, in our pilgrimage here below, the wonders of Almighty God to unworthy sinners, to trembling worm Jacobs, when they prove there is help laid upon one that is mighty. So, Lord, we plead for each and every one to remember those in the even time of life. Age and infirmity, the mud-walled cottage shakes. Heart and flesh begin to fail. Oh, be their remembrancer. Oh, as we look upon that precious truth which thou didst declare unto thy disciples, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to bring to our remembrance, thy disciples, thy people's remembrance, all the words which thou hast spoken to them. Yea, bring to their remembrance all those Ebenezer stones, those stones of help, those times when it was manifest thy love in time past. That might bring them to this, his love in time past forbids me to think. He'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to help me quite through. Lord, remember then those in the even time of life. And once again to remember thy true church. We're ministered and brought low. We see the assaults of Satan. We see that worldly spirit at times which begins to creep in. The ways of the world, the maxims of the world, fashions of the world, the speech of the world. Oh, how solemn it is. May we be found amongst those that ask after the old paths and contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. But oh, as we read that in Jeremiah's prophecy, their answer was, we will not, we will not. And is it not so the same in our day? Many that do not want the old paths, they want something different, want something lighter, in that way which will sew pillows under armpits and raise up on a false foundation. Oh, how solemn it is. But oh, may it please thee. May there be, and we know there will. We thank thee that there will be. Until thou dost return, there shall be that remnant. That remnant that shall ask after the old paths. And so we plead that we might each be found amongst that remnant and contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. And remember those causes of truth then throughout this nation, where but two or three at times gather together. And perhaps a reading service takes place, and one that went forth from here to Biggleswade, we plead thy blessing upon that there. We would not despise a read sermon, even those sermons from years ago. Oh, may it please thee then, whether it is a read sermon or a preached sermon, may that which has been done in the earlier part of the day, may thy blessing rest upon it. May the power of the Spirit send it forth to this one or that one, meet this one or that one in their case, and that word not return unto thee void, but accomplish that whereto thou hast sent it. And to remember, we plead this guilty land and nation. How solemn is the day. We do not have to go far now, and we see those abominations and the evidences. Didst thou not destroy those cities of the plain because of those abominations? But Abraham was moved in his day to plead for those cities. If 50 righteous may be found, wilt thou spare the city? And thou didst say thou wilt spare the city. And he came to that figure of 10. If 10 righteous may be found, wilt thou spare this city? And thou didst say thou wilt spare the city. But it came to that point when there was Lot and his wife and his daughters. And how solemn was that day. Even Lot's wife turned back, and that which became of her. Oh, she looked back and perhaps hankered after those sins of the city from which they had been drawn out. But oh, just Lot. And then thou didst bring down fire and brimstone upon those cities, and they were utterly destroyed. Oh, hear the cries of the remnant regarding this guilty land. Yes, those in authority would not like to hear us plead in such a way, but they are the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, we plead then, do have mercy upon us. In wrath, remember mercy. Come oftentimes with the language of Habakkuk, revive thy work in the midst of our years. In the midst of our years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Oh, stir us up, O Lord. Leave us not to that complacency, or to that whereby we say, well, that is how things are. We just settle upon our lees. But oh, we believe thou hast spared this nation thus far because of that remnant that sigh and cry for the abominations done in the land. Oh, leave us not to just settle upon our lees and take things as if that is how it is and we must accept it. But oh, do have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon our leaders that enact such laws which are now upon our statute book, that give succour to those that do such things. Oh, may it please that it might be yet, even repealing of those laws. Most gracious God, thou canst raise up those in Parliament to contend for the truth. Oh, may that please that it might yet be so, and their voice be heard. But all we plead then, do stir us up also. May it please thee, make us each honest in thy sight, even to come like this. Search me and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in my heart. Leave us not to roll as a sweet morsel some sin under our tongue, as if it doesn't matter. Sin is exceedingly sinful when we see what it costs thee, the Lord of life and glory, what it costs thee in thy agonies, in thy sweating of it, as it were, those drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, and having to endure the cross and despising the shame there, but the cross, when thou wast hung upon the accursed tree, made a curse for thy people, in their room, place, and stead, and had to bear the hiding of thy Father's face. Sin, exceedingly sinful. Oh, may we be brought again and again to look upon one whom we have pierced, as we read of it in Zechariah's prophecy, and to be ever found as a mourner in Zion, mourning over our sins, and bringing us to this, hold thou me up and I shall be saved. Lord, keep me. Keep me in the hour of temptation. Preserve me from bringing shame and reproach upon thy name, and upon thy church, and upon thy people. O Lord, how we need thee to keep us. Lord, do thou help us, we plead, as we would seek once again now to turn to thy word. We've been favoured once again through the day, have we not, for that which is necessary for our body's good. And we will return thanks for all these mercies and favours. But we have a never dying soul. We're sinners. Ah, may we taste, handle and feel of a precious Christ through the lattice of the gospel. Oh, come and break the bread of life unto us. Do us each good and send none empty away. So grant now help to this poor one. One thou dost send forth as an instrument in thy service. And oh, as the prophet Isaiah, he had to come like this. Ah, yes, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. And he had need of that live coal from off the altar to be touched upon his lips to make him fit for the master's use. Oh, do make this poor one fit for the master's use this night. Oh, sanctify and make this vessel, this earthen vessel, fit for the master's use. Pour in that we may pour out. And may there be a portion for seven and a portion for eight. Lord, we plead. Pardon and forgive then our sins and our failings, our often shortcomings. Wash us each in thy precious sin atoning blood. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Sing hymn number 900. Number 900. Say, wast thou not a captive born, and art thou not a captive led, with fetters loaded every morn, and chained down each night in bed? Do not thy lusts beset thee still, and take thee captive at their will. Hymn number 900.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, and it was the first clause of the 17th verse that seems to rest upon my spirit. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Psalm 90, and the first clause of verse 17. And let the beauty of the Lord be our God be upon us. Psalm, a prayer of Moses, man of God. When we read of his last words, some of his last words as he spake them unto the children of Israel, when it came toward the end of his days, he could testify this, could he not? There is none. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency upon the sky. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. And then happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Moses in his day and generation, he proved one that was from everlasting to everlasting. But he's also to prove that of his own frailty, and that of the brevity of his life, which was coming to an end. That psalm we read in Psalm 90, Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses. Perhaps in that way, individually for himself, but collectively for the children of Israel. And he speaks, does he not, regards, yes, man. Man, yes, he's got a set time here upon the earth. A set time. We know that in days of Methuselah, over 980 years, was he not? But because of sin, yes, that the age of man was reduced, was it not? And 80 years is what pertains to us in our day and generation. 80 years. And what is that? 70. And if by reason of strength, 80 years, that's 80 years. The word of God declares then, labour and sorrow. But what a mercy if there is that hope. That hope raised up in that poor trembling worm Jacob's heart. Yes, he's but frail at best. Has but a few years here upon the earth. And sinful. He was conceived in sin and shaped in iniquity. And who can know it? Did not one declare, few and evil have been my days? And is it not so? As we said just now, we were conceived in sin and shaped in iniquity. came forth my mother's womb speaking lies. And in that condition in which we were naturally born, we were dead to the things of grace. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We served Satan. Yes, the prince of the power of the air. We served him. You might not acknowledge it, but we did. We didn't serve God. However righteous you may feel yourself to be, if it's that, even as the apostle we tried to speak this morning, the apostle was brought to that, was he not? To desire Christ, and as a living desire, because he had then a need. As Almighty God laid the axe to the root of that which was no more than that of the flesh. But until that is wrought in the heart of a poor sinner, Satan's blind slaves we are we not, sporting with death? And death is before us each. And we have those reminders, do we not, again and again, of the frailty of man and the brevity of the life of man. We know naturally we put these things, these thoughts from us. I'm the same, and certainly when I was younger, tried not to hear these things. Shut my ears to them. But now as we get older, we realize the truth of it. The truth of it. There is a time to be born and a time to die. And after death, a judgment. And there's no mistaking of it. Yes, and no escaping from it. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away, as with a flood, they are as asleep. In the morning they are like the grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger. By thy wrath are we troubled. Or do we know anything, even as the Moses, the man of God, then goes on, thou hast set our iniquities before thee. Do we have that knowledge and the thought of it? Makes it tremble. Yes. Our secret sins. Others might know and view outward sins. But the Lord looketh upon the heart. He knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. And solemnly the thought of man naturally is not of thoughts toward God and of Christ. He finds, does he not, his thoughts naturally of the earth earthy. Very much of the earth earthy. He cannot give himself one good thought. Yes, man in his natural state. He is dead, dead in trespasses and sins. And he has need then of that new birth. Marvel not when I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The word of God declares it. Without that new birth, There is no new life. Man might think he has, and they can do this or that. Ah, yes, man can say he loves Christ. He can speak of those things that are of God. He can declare all the doctrines according to the word of God and know nothing in the heart. It's a solemn thing. Yes, we can come so far. Going back to, I believe we quoted this morning concerning the five wise and the five foolish virgins. To all intents and purposes, those looking upon them and perhaps passing by and viewing them would have noticed that they all look the same. But the Lord looks upon the heart. Your heart and mine, it doesn't excuse the man that stands up in the Lord's name. It doesn't excuse any of us. And I often refer to that, what the prophet Isaiah, yes, we read that 53rd chapter, but you read that chapter at the towards the beginning of Isaiah. Ah, yes, there's that which made him tremble. That solemn verse, solemn chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another. Take note of that. They cried. It was heard. He heard it. Wasn't mistaken about it. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. They declared it. It wasn't whispered to him. Almighty God declared it to him. And the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Ah, do we know anything then of one that is holy? Holy, holy, one that is a heart-searching God. It had that effect upon Isaiah. It didn't leave him unmoved. And neither will the word of God when it convicts a poor sinner, when he has a sight of what he, well, who Almighty God is and what he is. Then said I, woe is me. It's in that personal way. Yes, he was the Lord's servant amongst the peoples of Judah and Jerusalem. In that personal way is brought to this, woe is me, for I am undone. Oh, do you feel and know something of your undone state? And he declared this, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Oh, that sight of one that is holy. And in that way, that poor sinner trembles. trembles. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. It's an unerring light. Oh, know a little of that where the Spirit ransacks every corner of your heart. You're brought to this. For all those sins that have been shown, revealed, were written upon something put onto your front and your back, and you are told to go down the street, you had come to this conclusion that the world will walk upon the other side of the road. Unclean, foul, desperate sinner, black indeed. Moses in that petition goes on, does he not? For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The years of our days are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet their strength is labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. There shall come that end of days, whether it is by reason of strength, greater days than another, or lesser, according to the decrees of God, there shall come that time. And then there was this consideration, was it not? Who knoweth the power of thine anger? A broken law. An offended God. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. And it brought this into his petition. So teach us to number our days. Not to know what number of days we have. The length of days. But realize how short. Short at best. Compared to eternity with its tremendous sound. All its unnumbered years. A number cannot be affixed to them. Even Methuselah's years of 900 and 86 or whatever years it was, 980 plus. There is nothing compared to eternity. Teach us to number our days. So there is that day of judgment that must come. It must come. We don't like to hear of it by nature. My old nature doesn't want to hear of it. Ah, yes, our old nature doesn't change. Our old nature thinks we'll remain here forever, and would if it could. But oh, what a mercy if you've been brought to this, to see that you have no continuing city here. You seek that which is to come. Then there will be this desirable the knot as Moses comes toward the close of that psalm. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy. Oh, have you been brought to that poor sinner? A sinner crying for mercy. A sinner crying for mercy, groaning under a burden of sin, and coming up perhaps to the house of God in this night. With this burden I begin. Lord, remove this load of sin. And you long for that revelation of Christ. Ah, the Spirit, yes, coming back, I believe we hinted at it this morning. Ah, the Spirit. If not, I'll speak it now. But all the Spirit will lead and teach into all truth as it is in Jesus. And I said before, with that one that we once despised, we become unto that poor sinner the one that is needful. Oh, the one that is needful. I turned to the hymn a little earlier. Now at 9:40 of Top Ladies. If you've been brought to the language of that hymn, poor sinner, compared with Christ, in all beside, no comeliness I see. Yes, we read that 53rd chapter in Isaiah's prophecy. And that's how we were by nature as that chapter begins. We saw no beauty in Christ. We had no need of him. There's no knowledge of our sins. Yes, perhaps right and wrong according to what man and the laws of the land and what our parents might have said, you can do this or cannot do that. But this is in the sight of a holy God. One that will not at all acquit the wicked. You have need of one, yes, to save even unto the uttermost sinners. Bound up in that which we try it with, well, it came to my mind and seemed to stand out from the page. Let the beauty of the Lord be our God be upon us. Well, the beauties of Christ. And the fullness that resides in Christ. Can you come then in measure with the hymn writer, compared with Christ? In all beside, no comeliness I see. Yes, once you despised him, thought meanly of him, took no heed, yes, took no heed of those things spoken of by the Lord's servants. Perhaps unto you at the time once they were but as idle tales, something which you'd rather not hear. But now what a change. By grace are ye saved through faith. That gift of God. That gift of God which is, yes, is not merited, cannot be earned, cannot be purchased, is freely given. Yes, unto the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. It's freely given to those bound up in that covenant, ordered in all things and sure, but always at your desire. I might be found in that covenant. Bound up in that covenant. Love with that everlasting love. Saved with that salvation. Taste, handle and feel of the Lamb of God once slain. By faith. Yes, to taste, handle and feel that one that gave his life a ransom. Compared with Christ in all beside, no comeliness I see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. It was wrought in the heart of the Apostle Paul, was it not? Tried to speak of it this morning, going back to that third chapter in his epistle to the Philippians. I believe it's wrought in the heart of Job. A Saviour made known to them both, revealed to them both. But is it your longing? Is it your longing? In the reality of it? Yes, something we want more than notion. Something must be known and felt. Yes, we can go all our days with that which is nothing more than notion. And it'll fail you at last. To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. The sense of thy expiring love into my soul convey, thyself bestow. For thee alone, my all in all, I pray. Yes, you're brought to that, less than thyself will not suffice, my comfort to restore. More than thyself I cannot crave, and thou canst give no more. Oh, that living desire. Was it not so in that Ethiopian eunuch? I believe he is brought to a sense of sin. And he read that chapter 53 in Isaiah, did he not? But he did not understand fully what the prophet Isaiah, who he spake of. But doth he not speak of the preciousness of Christ? The wonders of that salvation. And perhaps your desire is that you might know, even as the Ethiopian eunuch was brought to know. Ah, what a mercy the Lord knew that Ethiopian eunuch, his desire. And he sent the Lord sent his servant Philip down to meet him there, and is in a desert place. And I believe at the end of that discourse, that which was revealed to that Ethiopian eunuch was all the beauties of Christ. The beauties of his salvation. Yes, the beauties of his salvation. Often turn to that chapter 53. And it's a precious portion of the word of God, is it not? It pleased the Lord to bruise him, the eternal Son. One, verily God, verily man. I felt I had to read that second chapter in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. Ah, yes, the second person in the Godhead, God the Son. Co-equal, co-eternal with God the Father, and also the Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three yet one yet three. One that ever was with the Father. Brought up with him, as we read of it in the Proverbs. Daily his delight. But in that plan of salvation. Ah, yes, in that plan of salvation. That one from eternity to all eternity, the eternal Son, did not take upon himself the nature of an angel, but the seed of Abraham, flesh and blood. A body and soul like unto you, yet without sin. The wonders of it, the beauty of it. Not the nature of an angel, but the seed of Abraham, flesh and blood. Made under the law, so to satisfy it, in the room, place, and stead of his church, his chosen, his bride. Those that the Father had given to the Son. Ah, yes, and he accomplished that, according to that which the prophet spake. And so it came to pass. I know I've often quoted that hymn, but it's precious to this poor sinner. And did the holy and the just. There's the beauty of Christ summed up in that hymn. And did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust that guilty worms might rise? Yes, the Redeemer left his throne, his radiant throne on high. Surprising mercy, love unknown, to suffer, bleed and die. Made like unto his brethren, body and soul, yet without sin. But made sin, he who knew no sin. And he bore the sin of many. All the beauty is there to the worst of sinners, to the most black sinner, one that prayers say can identify with Mary or Manasseh, or even as the apostle declared of himself, of sinners of whom I am chief. Oh, what did we read? He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Ah, yes, in the judgment hall he answered not a word. He came to do, that which he purposed to do according to that plan of salvation. To give his life a ransom, to stand in the sinner's room place and stand, made sin for his people, he who knew no sin. We read those verses again, but all these, that verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord. Pleased the Lord to bruise him. That was our desert, all the beauty in it, poor sinner. An eternal death, the wrath of God, the sword of divine judgment. You read of it in Zechariah. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. He bore it. Not for sins that he had done, but sins that he was bearing. Bearing for his people, to save them from wrath to come. Yea, to redeem them from the hand of the enemy. That imputed righteousness is by and through that which Christ hath done. In the Garden of Gethsemane and upon the cross at Calvary. And yes, it is risen again for their justification. Man may gain all he can gain here below. Mountains of gold. Possessions, flocks and herds, each one according to our path, we can have those things, but what are they compared? To Christ being formed in the heart, the hope of glory. Nothing to be compared with it. Not all the gold of Ophir. This is that beauty, I believe, that Moses is speaking of here. And his desire is it not, let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. Yes, the people of God's choice, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God, let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. Oh, is that your desire? Yes, you might be able to come. That sweet knowledge, yes, of your sins forgiven. To see them laid upon the Lamb of God. And to behold the Lamb of God once slain. To see that one that was bruised, put to grief. And his soul made an offering for sin. Ah, and the wondrousness of it. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul. Ah, yes, it was so in Mary and Manasseh's case. It was so as regards the Apostle Paul and those saints of old. But it will be so according to all the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, those worm Jacobs. Yes, that one conceived in sin. That one that seems to add sin to sin. Ah, yes, and that one brought into that way of grace by that new birth. And he's then brought to mourn over his sin. They're a burden to him. What a mercy when this is shown to him. He shall see the trial of his soul and shall be satisfied. Ah, that which he hath done, the Son of God, it satisfied what the Lord demanded. It satisfied it in every jot and tittle. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. All these beauties which are of Christ, these wonders which are of his salvation, and all just in the interval my mind went also. Ah, what a mercy when a poor sinner is brought to this, he can say of that one he once despised, once rejected, thought little of, but as it's made known to him, Christ is revealed to him by the Spirit, he can come even like this, he's the chiefest among 10,000. The chiefest among 10,000, yea, and the altogether lovely. And even to say this, he is precious. He is precious. Ah, the preciousness of Christ. But also in that regarding the poor sinner's path here below. All the beauties as regards Christ. That one that has now ascended on high waits to be gracious, having accomplished that in the sinner's room, place and stead. That path which pertains to this one and that one, as the Lord hath appointed it. Sometimes we trust we prove there again and again the beauties of Christ, the beauty of the Lord our God in and through Christ. That one that condescended to be a man and die. That one that took our frame and remembers that we are but dust. When we see that one now ascended on high, having accomplished all. Yea, is that one that loveth at all times, that friend that loveth at all times, a brother born for adversity. Born for adversity. He truly was tempted in all points, like as we are. You are. All points, we read in the Word of God. Tempted in all points, like as we are. Yet without sin. You read it in the fourth chapter. I could have read that as well. Ah, this is a mercy. This is one of those beauties of Christ. In this veil of tears, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What are your infirmities? Are they many? Temptations and trials and tribulations, afflictions and difficulties. They at times are burden you and weigh you down. Here's one of those beauties then of Christ. That which is for poor worm Jacob's come back to the worm Jacob, the fearful worm Jacob. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And then this gracious encouragement. The Lord knows your path and mine. That which he hath appointed for you. And it is through much tribulation ye shall enter the kingdom. Ah, at times, yes, you'll come like dear old Jacob of old, all these things are against me. You'll find an adversary at your right hand to resist you. Ah, where is now thy God? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? But he waits to be gracious. And the voice of thy cry will answer thee. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And all those temptations, those things which at times, yes, seem hard to be understood. He knows what sort of temptations mean, for he has felt the same. Or when you consider him in his temptations, 40 days and 40 nights, we cannot comprehend what it must have been for the Lord of life and glory. But he is a partaker of flesh and blood. But also the beauties of Christ. The time is nearly gone. One that conquered death, hell and the grave. Gained the victory. Ah, yes, when the poor sinner comes to the end of his days. What a mercy when he proves this. There is one that likewise took part of the same. Tasted death. But the mercy is risen indeed. Risen indeed. But as we read this evening, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them. Deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Yes, subject to bondage through fear of death. Conquered death. Ah, conquered death. Gain the victory. The beauties of Christ. All those wonders which we look upon more and more. It gives a little hope, does it not? Comfort as we journey in this vale of tears. If you read that at the end of the 15th chapter of the first epistle, Paul to the Corinthians. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Yes, the 54th verse says this. Death is swallowed up in victory. Comes that hymn we quoted, peace by his cross as Jesus made. The church is everlasting head o'er hell and sin, the victory won, and with a shout to glory gone. That 9:25. Tasted death. Gone before. Yea, the shepherd goes before his sheep. Ah, and in that way hath he not perfumed the grave. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. Ah, that one that did bear the sin, bear their iniquities. As we said a little earlier, it pleased the Father. Well, I quoted that, I believe, this morning. Pleased the Father. For the law was satisfied. The demand of the law was satisfied. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, that verse there, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I believe the apostle exalts Christ, does he not, does he? In that epistle to the Hebrews. Oh, you reader, read it at your leisure. And plead the Lord might, by the Spirit, open it up to your understanding. I believe it would be to the joy and rejoicing of your soul. Must leave it there. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Kingham is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day, who also hopes to administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn 925. Peace by his cross as Jesus made, the church's everlasting head. O'er hell and sin has victory won, and with a shout to glory gone. Hymn 925.
Thank you.
dear Lord, to honour and bless thy word. Oh, may we each in our day and generation, even as Moses, a man of God, saw the beauties of Christ, and Abraham in his day, they saw it by faith and believed. Oh, may we likewise be shown thy beauties. A precious Christ revealed the hope of glory. We might each come to be able to say, he is precious, he is precious. Yea, the altogether lovely. Lord, do then take thy word and seal it upon the heart. We thank thee for it. Forgive all thou hast heard and seen amiss. Cover up the mantle of thy forgiving love. And now we would fall into thy hands and commend each into thy kind care and keeping. Each one according to their path. Do manage all for them by the way unto the end, but go before each one in those untrodden steps which lie ahead. Lord, thou knowest, and certainly one we plead for him again. Manage all by the way unto the end. Be his all. Remember the family. But oh, prepare us each that day when time shall be no more. May we be found ready, with that oil of grace in our lamps and in our vessels. For when the bridegroom, yes, that time when the bridegroom shall appear. But now, remember each then, young in the midst of life and older. Remember them each as they go to their destinations. Remember us as we journey home, dear one, oneself on the morrow, but grant each a measure of sleep and rest this night. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.